वर्स नंबर एक, ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा कूटस्थो विजितेन्द्रियः युक्त इत्युच्यते योगी समलोष्टाश्मकाञ्चनः। टुगेदर ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा कूटस्थो विजितेन्द्रियः युक्त इत्युच्यते योगी समलोष्टाश्मकाञ्चनः। सो भगवान इज यूजिंग टू टर्म्स, ज्ञान एंड विज्ञान। ज्ञान मीन्स नॉलेज, विज्ञान मीन्स विशेषण ज्ञान, मीन्स द स्पेशल नॉलेज। सो वॉट इज द डिफरेंस, विल टॉक अबाउट दैट। एंड तृप्त कंटेंट, हु इज सैटिस्फाइड, हु इज कंटेंट, आत्मा। आत्मा हियर डज नॉट मीन द सुप्रीम आत्मा, द ओम, बट आत्मा इज द इंडिविजुअलिटी। दैट्स वाई द वर्ड आत्मा, वेन एवर इट अपियर्स इन द गीता, इट हैज वेरी डिफरेंट मीनिंग डिपेंडिंग ऑन द कॉन्टेक्स्ट। एंड दैट्स द ब्यूटी ऑफ संस्कृत, द सेम वर्ड कैन हैव सेवरल मीनिंग्स। इफ यू लुक एट द ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ आत्मा, प्रॉब्ली इट विल फिल अ होल पेज इन द डिक्शनरी। सो देर आर वेरियस मीनिंग्स। सो हियर आत्मा द कॉन्शियसनेस इज एवर तृप्त, बट मी द इंडिविजुअलिटी वेन I am established in the knowledge and in the wisdom and I am content, then what happens to me? Kutastha. Kuta is the anvil. In the blacksmith, you know, when he in the olden days when they used to make like horseshoes or make any metal equipment, they used to beat it on this anvil, which is like the firm metal, and everything is hammered on that. Kutastha. So he becomes firm like the anvil, vijitendriya. His senses are controlled again and again. Control your senses, control your senses. And what happens to such a person? Yukta. He becomes united. Yukta. Iti uchyate yogi. So this yogi, this meditator who has controlled his mind, who has the right knowledge, firmly established in the wisdom, becomes yukta, and he is said to be a yogi, united. And what happens to such a yogi? Sama loshta ashma kanchana. So he is the same, he looks at the same in loshta is mud, ashma is stone, and kanchana is gold. He says, what? For a wise person, he sees no difference between gold and stone and mud. Then I don't want enlightenment. Are yaar, gold and mud, he sees the same. It's better than, I think I'll leave Gita class. Let me go and go to the jewelry store, buy some gold. No, so why he's saying that? So this is what Bhagwan is telling us, how he deals with objects. So jnana and vijnana. So jnana means knowledge. Vijnana means special knowledge. So like I have got a recipe from the internet, so I want to make some new dish. So the recipe I got and I downloaded, that is jnana, that is knowledge. Now I know how to make this particular dish. But when I actually get all the ingredients and then cook it on the stove, and then when I eat it and it becomes one with me, this is a tasty dessert, then that is vijnana. That is now I know it, what I have read on the internet, what I have seen in the recipe, when I understand it. Or in spirituality, I have read this particular text. I am reading the Bhagavad Gita and listening to Swami Chinmayananda's commentary, reading it. That's very good. That's jnana. But when does it become vijnana? When I bring it into my life. When the raga dvesha is gone, when the joy and sorrow, the likes and dislikes, I like this, I don't like this. So when my life changes according to the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, then only the Bhagavad Gita I have understood. That's why when somebody told Swami Chinmayananda, I have gone to the Bhagavad Gita three times. I have gone through Bhagavad Gita three times. He says, has Bhagavad Gita gone through you? You know, you have to become a living manifestation of the Bhagavad Gita. So when the people see, oh, okay, this person is going, you can see Bhagavad Gita in action. So that is jnana and vijnana. And tripta is contented. And that, again and again, Bhagavan will say, even in the 12th chapter, he says, santushta satatam yogi. I have to develop this attitude of contentment. Not that one should not try to succeed, but at the end of the day, when I sit down, thank you, Lord, for whatever you have given me. This is what I deserve. This is what my karmas are worth. And so I am happy with what I have. I don't stop working, but I don't have this discontent. And the problem, I think we can close the door. Sorry. Just close it fully. Just push it in all the way. So the problem is within us. The problem is within us, but we are trying to solve it outside. So they say that be content and bring your knowledge into the practice. And then why does Bhagavan says anvil, kutas? Because in the olden days, when the blacksmith used to make any metal, like anything out of metal, there is this anvil which is firm, and on that he will hammer the metal, hammer till he will flatten it out and make it into a plate or a cup or whatever he wants to make. So the everything will change, but that anvil will not change. Anvil will not get flattened, anvil will not bend, because it is made of such strong metal, steel, that whatever you hit on it, that remains unaffected. On it, everything else gets changed. The piece of metal, by hammering, it can become flat, and then you can make anything out of it. So same way, this wise person becomes so firmly established in that wisdom that no matter what the world problems throws at him or her, but the ability to remain calm in all situations and to remain firm. And as I said, raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes are reduced to a minimum. And such a person, he says, vijitendriya, his senses are under his control. Does not mean I destroy my senses. I can't say from, like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak. You can't do that. You have to see the world. You have to hear what is happening. You have to, you know, eat, smell, taste, touch. Its sense organs will keep on functioning. But what do they mean by control the sense organs? Vijitendriyaha. The mind is not leaking out in the senses. That mind starts running after, I must have this, I must get this, I must acquire this, all the desire. So the mind has to be kept within. That's why in the second chapter, yatha kurma, like a kurma, you know, just as a turtle or a tortoise, yatha samharate chayam kurmonga nivasarvasha indriyani indriyarthebhyah tasya pragnya pratishthita. So a wise person with whose pragnya is established, when there is danger outside, just as a turtle, when he sees danger, and somebody like a wolf or a fox, somebody going to eat him up, he'll withdraw his limbs and stay inside the shell and remains protected. The shell, the enemy cannot attack him. So similarly, a wise person, when he sees that the world is, you know, creating problem, he just withdraws himself. So I don't need to deal with this. So the ability to control his mind, control his senses, is called vijitendriya, not to stop seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And a saint is the one, as Gurudev says, who is so firmly established in this wisdom that he remains cheerful. And we see in the lives of saints how many problems, how many sorrows they had. Look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram, look at Narasimha Mehta, look at Jesus, look at Buddha. How many problems, how many people gave them problems. But they always remained firm. And that's why Jesus could say, Lord, let thy will be done, not mine. Even when he was being crucified, he said, if that is my Father's will, let it be. He absolutely had no complaint, no sorrow. He said, that is what is required. I'll cheerfully do it. So the ability to be the same in all situations are the hallmarks of a saint. Now, this is, and yukta means this person is united, where yukta means the mind and intellect work together. Not the intellect says this is right, but the mind says it's okay, you know, let me do it. No, mind and intellect are united, and they are all united with God. So that is called yukta. Such a person is called a yogi, whose mind and intellect, whatever he has heard and studied, he brings it into practice and always connected with God. Now this sama loshta ashma kanchana, this is a very interesting phrase where he says that he is the same in mud or stone or gold. He said, well, no. There's a difference, you know. If you have a piece of gold and a piece of mud, is there no difference in a piece of stone? Why the Lord is saying, there are two reasons. First one is that everything has its place. Now, gold is valuable. You can buy, you know, you have a piece of gold, you can buy anything. You can sell gold and buy whatever you want. But can you grow crops in gold? No. You cannot grow crops. You cannot say that I'll put a pile of gold and put rice and it will grow. You need mud for that. So mud has its own place. Rocks you need for building, for construction. So everything has its own place and everything is valuable. In God's creation, nothing is that is useless, that is without value. So yes, gold has its own value and mud has its own value. Stones have their own value. So he is able to see that everything is in its place. The second meaning of that is that once this person is established in this Om, this consciousness, then he sees everything as a matter. Everything is matter, whether it's stone, whether it's mud, whether it's gold. These are all prakriti. These are all matter, and these are all created, and these are all changing, and these will all be destroyed. So having woken up to the higher truth, then this person is no longer disturbed or attached too much to things. It's like Gurudev gives the example a lot that in my dream, I had millions of dollars. I was a king and I had a big palace and lots of, you know, houses and cars and all. And when I wake up, I'm an ordinary person. I'm, you know, maybe even a poor person. Now, from that dream, can I bring any of those? Can I bring my, you know, my palace or my millions or my car? No, none of that. And not only that, but then you realize that this was not real. This was an unreal expression which I just had. So similarly, a wise person sees this whole world as a dream. And when he has woken up, then he says, whatever is of this world is a dream. Just as in my dream, the palace, the gold, everything was temporary. And none of it mattered when I woke up. So for a wise person, nothing is important. Because he says everything is just matter. It's just, and I need it. He will use it as it is. But he does not get attached. And he knows that ultimately I am beyond all those three. So that is the value. And that can only happen when you find the joy within. And the example they give is of a toy. Now, for a child, it is very important. This is a mechanical toy. This is an electrical toy. This is a, you know, a computer-generated some, you know, robot or something. But, and so he's very attached. You know, this is my truck, or this is my doll, or this is my toy, or this is mine. And then they won't share it with anybody else. They'll fight with the brother and sister, and you know, when the friend comes, they won't. And the mother has to say, you know, your friend is here, you should share your truck. Then, no, it's my truck. But once he has grown up and become a teenager, then is he attached to those toy trucks and those toy robots and those toy dolls? No, he or she has grown out. So similarly, a wise person has outgrown these attachments to these small things. And there is a very beautiful story of Muktabai. Muktabai was sister of Sant Gyaneshwar. As you know, Sant Gyaneshwar was a great saint of Maharashtra, and he had written Gyaneshwari, which is a beautiful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And his sister Muktabai was as enlightened, as evolved as him, very evolved. And she also has written beautiful abhangas and all that. And they were a contemporary of Namdev. Namdev was another great saint, and they lived at the same time. And some people say, well, Ganeshwar learned from Namdev, whatever it is, but they were contemporary. So once Namdev and Muktabai were walking together, and Sant Namdev was ahead and Muktabai was behind, and they were going through some little brush and some, you know, little bushes and all. And suddenly Namdev saw a piece of gold bangle lying there. You know, somebody must have lost it or dropped it. So he thought, you know, Muktabai, she's a lady, so she will get, tempted by this gold bangle. So he took some mud and covered the bangle. And Muktabai tells him, she says, why are you covering dust with dust? You know, this is both are dust. So the point is that for a wise person, there is no fascination. You know, once they have seen that highest truth, then everything is valuable where it is needed. So you use things. We are not saying that you give up all your gold and possessions and everything. You use what is required to be used, but without thinking that all my happiness, that tomorrow somebody loses a gold necklace or a gold bangle or ring, and people get so upset. Oh, that was my wedding ring, and that had a 2-carat diamond. Okay, it was there and you enjoyed it for a while, and if it is gone, you look for it, but don't, this is not my whole life is gone. You know, the point is that things will come and go. Nothing is permanent. And if it happened, okay, you know, what can you do? That's life. In life, same way people, money, you know, stock market, people commit suicide. You know, when the stock market collapses, so many people kill themselves. If you put your money in stocks, it's going to happen. One day it's going to be 17,000 and another day it may be 14,000. Nothing you can do about it. So observe the thing and yes, use whatever you have intelligently, but don't get so caught in that my whole life is ruined because this is gone or that is gone. So that is the worst, which Bhagavan says, that one who has established in wisdom, has practiced this knowledge, is content and is firmly established in this knowledge where his senses are under his control, such a yogi is said to be united with the higher and remains the same, whether in the presence of gold, mud or stone. So these three verses today tell us how the mind can be our enemy or mind can be our friend, how we can be the same in joy and sorrow, and in all situations and with all objects. So three very beautiful verses. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments. I think that's a very good question. Mind leaking out means you see the object as it is, that's there. But when I say, oh, I must own it, I must have it, and if my neighbor has it, how can I get it from him? How, and then my happiness depends on having it and my unhappiness. So that is called the mind leaking out. The objects are there, but when the mind wants to possess it and when cannot possess it becomes unhappy, then such a mind is said to be a mind that has leaked out. But the mind should remain, and you see objects, and yeah, if you can get it, fine, but if you can't, I'm still fine. So that is the mind leaking out, and it leaks out because of desires, because of vasana. So constant awareness that where is my mind right now, and that's what meditation is also. That in meditation also our mind is leaking out into either the past, what happened or what will happen in the future, what will I do after meditation. So the mind is always running either in the past or in the future, but keeping it at the job at hand, what I'm doing right now, that is called mind that is under control and not leaking out. Yes, living in the present and doing what it is supposed to do without worrying about objects, that I should get this and not get this and all that. Why is this happening? Why is this not happening? All that. Yeah, self-controlled mind. I hope anybody else wants to add to that.
So where is the fine line? When do you know that, okay, I've done enough versus, let's say, surrendering? not necessarily giving up, but or did it actually go hand in hand?
I think what the answer to that is that the human intellect has a limited, finite ability. My body, my mind, my intellect have a limited ability to achieve. In the world, I can achieve a lot, but in the spiritual path, my ability to achieve is limited. And so, yes, I have to put the effort. With the body, I should serve. With the mind, I should do prayers and, you know, puja. With the intellect, I should get the right knowledge. But to think that with my limited abilities, I can get the highest is not going to happen. That's why Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, the finite can never get the infinite. I cannot reach that highest goal by myself. So I keep putting effort, lift yourself by yourself, keep doing the right thing, keep constantly serving, constantly loving, constantly learning. But remember that I have limited abilities, and ultimately only the Lord himself can lift me up. So at a certain point you surrender and say, I can't do anymore. Now it's your job. I think a while back I had talked about the spaceship. The spaceship to take off from Earth needs a lot of effort. You know, all the engines are required. And then once it escapes the Earth's gravity, all the engines are dropped off, all the first, second, third, fourth stage. And then the spaceship is just slowly floating through space. But when it comes to the moon, and if it wants to land on the moon, then it's the moon's gravity that will pull the spaceship, because then the spaceship at that point surrenders and says, I cannot, and the moon's gravity will pull. So similarly, I put in a lot of effort initially, then I'm just smoothly floating around, and ultimately I say, Lord, you only can do it. So that's when the surrender comes. Because without surrender, the I will is very powerful. That I am this, I am that, I can do this, I can do that. So I has to be dropped. And he or she or that consciousness alone is everything. And that's surrender. Where I'm not myself not able to do it, but I surrender to that higher power, because I have limited abilities, limited knowledge. And all the saints talk about it. They talk about the darkest, because the night is the darkest before the dawn. There was a famous Western saint. She talked about it. She said that, I felt at a point that I am dark. I am so sad. And she was so unhappy and so miserable. And finally she surrendered. And then the dawn arose. So same way Eckhart Tolle talks about how he went through so much depression. So until you surrender, that final stage, I think, won't be accomplished. That's what they say. I haven't reached it yet, so I'll tell you when I get there. But, yeah. Yes?
Just to add to that.
Sure.
So the way I understand that you're doing meditation and you do all this thing, unshaken, conquer senses, but then whatever activity you have to do is you have to be real world, and if you're doing all that, you are in samadhi. But samadhi, what gives me, so I just clarify.
I think there is, maybe Naina can answer it. So there is savikalpa and nirvikalpa samadhi. So in meditation, you are meditating on a particular form, and then you have particular thoughts, whether it's the mantra or whether it's the form of the Lord or whether it's, you know, you're meditating on your breath. So that is savikalpa, that is form. And then in that, the mind is fluctuating. But ultimately, your mind becomes completely still, where there is no difference between meditator, meditated, and meditating. Those three, when they merge into one, when in that thoughtless state, which Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, the flame then does not flicker. Ningte, that does not flicker. So that is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where there is no distinction between meditator, meditated, and meditating, as Pankaj said, where I become one with the self. So I think that is my understanding of Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So the complete quietude of the mind, of the thoughts.
But then that, you have to have that when you are...
But you know that there is some it's just an illusion.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so basically, the body, mind, intellect continues to function, but he remains...
he doesn't identify.
Identify, right. Remains unaffected, unidentified, and knows that at the body level there will be problems. That's why heat and cold, and there'll be health and ill health, and mentally and intellectually. But I am none of those. So that constant understanding is there while functioning in the... Otherwise, this knowledge, if it's not going to come in my daily activity, then it is useless. If we just listen here and go and then go back to what we were. That's why Bhagavan says, jnana and vijnana. It has to change my life. Thank you very much, and thank you all for your comments and questions. We'll see you next week. We'll continue the how a wise person deals with people. See, they say objects are okay, situation, but people, that is the biggest problem. So we'll learn how to deal with people. Thank you very much. Swami Ishwarananji will be here next week from Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. He will be talking on Ashtavakra Gita, which is a beautiful text. He has already been covering last few visits, so we'll listen to that. It's a wonderful text. So please attend 7 to 8:30 p.m. And then if you do miss any Gita talks, you can listen to them on firstpower.info. Tony here maintains the website. So thank you, Tony. And we'll see you next week. Please stay for lunch. If you have not sponsored or signed up for lunch, we do have spots available in the office. You can sign up if you have anniversary or children's birthday. So that way everybody gets to enjoy lunch. So we'll see you then. Thank you, Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Hari Om.